So we're ready for the next talk, and you probably noticed, the regulars at least, that we didn't have any talk about Faust this year, which is quite unusual, but we have a stealth talk about Faust, because I know that Christoph will also be at the Faust conference in July, and the topic is similar, so it's about software architecture for multiple AVB listener and talker scenario, and it's done by Christopher Kuhr from the
Applied Sciences
Anhalt. Right. So, without further ado, Christoph, take it away.
Well, thank you for the introduction. Thanks for attending. I want to talk to you about a software architecture for a multiple AVB listener and talker scenario. First, I will introduce our research project and then give some brief introduction to Soundjack, and then I will explain our research project and the actual topic. So, first of all, thanks to the Bundesministerium for Bildung and Forschung for the funding of our project, especially 2020 Partnership für Innovation. We have two project partners, which is first Genuine. They do classical recordings for TV shows, for computer games and other things. And our second partner is Simonix. They do high quality video conferences, especially for broadcasting. Yes, this is Soundjack, what it looks like. Soundjack is an application that was introduced in 2006 by Professor Dr. Alexander Caro. It is able to establish up to 5 peer-to-peer connections over the public internet so that 5 musicians on the internet can play music together live. Latencies are about 20 to 40 milliseconds based on peer-to-peer connections, and it's limited to 5 because we assume an ADSL connection with 1 megabit uplink, so that's our constraint. I won't go into much detail on this picture, I just wanted to present to you what Soundjack is. Then we come to our research project, Fast Music. In Fast Music, our base is Soundjack. We start developing everything on Soundjack. First, it's a multimodal interaction system for distributed real-time music sessions. So this means that we try to implement several approaches. First, we have the visual approach. We are trying to transmit low delay videos so that the musicians have time accurate as possible video frames, which means we reduce the latency. We use wavelet transformation at this point because it's faster than Fourier transform, and it delivers pretty good results. Next, we want to motion capture the button of a conductor, and we want to play it back on a holographic cube on the remote end at the musician, so that the musician can react on those figures that the conductor is drawing, and they are presented on such a holocube, which is a part that our project partner Simonix is developing. Oh, sorry. Yeah, and the part that I'm talking about today will be the audio distribution. So we have a symphony orchestra, which usually has a lot of musicians. We are calculating with 60 musicians. We are rounding up to 64 musicians because it's better in scaling. So we cannot use a single server for this, because 60 musicians, one conductor, and doing signal processing for all those 60 streams, mixing them and apply other signal processing stuff, this would explode on a single server machine. So I don't know what kind of multi-processor you need for this. So we're taking another approach, and we are using a network segment for this whole server infrastructure. You could say cloud in modern days, and now newspeak, so we're using the word cloud. When we use such a network segment, a cloud, we have to consider some things that might occur in normal computer networks, which often are the problem for real-time music distributed over computer network. First, we have congestion in such networks, and congestion leads to non-deterministic behavior. We cannot say what the switch or the router is doing at what time, and it happens sometime. Then we have burstiness, which is we have a good example with, for example, MPEG 2 and 4, which encode iframes. These iframes may be huge, and afterwards you just have differential frames, which are really tiny. And thus, during the time that, for example, the iframe is in fragments, in IP packets, in your buffer, no other packet can be transmitted because the buffer is full at that time. Thus, burstiness is a real problem for real-time transmission. Then we have out-of-sync errors. There are several sources, several effects that can be seen. For example, buffer underruns or overruns, or comb filter effects. If you play back one on the same source on two different speakers with two different sample rates, and thus we have the need for some networking protocols and standards that achieve that avoid those problems that I just showed you. And therefore, we have some IEEE standards. These standards, this standard family is also called AVB, audio-video bridging. Again, audio and video bridging. And first, the non-deterministic behavior and congested networks can be avoided by stream reservation. We have a standard for this. Jitter and high delay can be avoided by bandwidth shaping, so in a way that we introduce time slots where everyone can send. Thus, the iframe, for example, wouldn't be sent in one burst, but it would be divided in several bursts so that it is even over time. And then we have this protocol, the standard for the synchronization in microsecond accuracy. The standards are, these are the official names of the standards. Previously, it was just an abbreviation. We have the time and synchronization for time-sensitive applications in bridged local area networks, GPTP also called. It's a special profile of the IEEE 1588-2008 standard, which is specially for assigned for this standard. Yes. Then we have the QAT, which is Virtual Bridged Local Area Networks Amendment 14, Stream Reservation Protocol. Next one, 802.1QAV, which is short for Forwarding and Queuing Enhancements for Time-Sensitive Streams. It's abbreviated FQTSS, and it represents the bandwidth shaping. Next is IEEE 1722, which is our actual transport protocol for samples and the audio stream. And we have 1722.1, which is our control protocol to control our AVB endpoints, our talkers and listeners, which they are called in the AVB domain. Now we have a look at our cloud infrastructure. This is just one piece, and it's scalable. I said earlier we are assuming 64 streams, and we have here 8 streams per server pair. We have a proxy server which takes the UDP streams and translates them to AVB streams, AVTP packets, this, and transmits this to the processing server. You can also watch this as a mixing desk, for example. You have at this point you have the I/O section. We have 64 IOs managed in 8 sections, so as you have on a normal mixing desk, if you will. And then you have the processing server, which is the DSP unit in such a mixing desk. And in between, you have a bus system. This bus system is AVB. And through the microseconds accuracy and the bandwidth shaping, you really can do real-time in it. You have real-time transport. Here at the bottom, you see an XMOS media clock talker, which provides us with a constant media clock, constant sample clock, for all servers, such that they are all in sync, with one exception, but I will come to that later. Yeah, and the SoundJack community and call server is the one who manages the sessions, who manages which user that connects to the cloud is assigned to which proxy server and processing server pair. The problem is you need hardware support for AVB. There is no way doing AVB without hardware support. That's always, people always think they, it's a new technology, we just can do it and it's great and it's magical, and no, you need hardware support. That's a crucial thing. Intel provides a NIC for this, the i210. There are different versions of it, but this has is established as the standard NIC for AVB most cases. And you have at the right side an extreme network switch. I just chose extreme network switches because we are using them. There are also other switches, like Cisco just introduced one. You have one of Motu, they provide an AVB switch. There are a lot of now there are a lot of switches which you can use. The reason why we need hardware support is we need the microsecond accuracy, and we need the bandwidth shaping. And for the bandwidth shaping, we need special queues, special transmission queues in the network card. The Linux operating system configuration is, we just used Linux Mint 18 Sera because it just was convenient. With a Linux kernel 4.8.6, with RT page 4.8.6 RT5. At the time we were starting development, this was the most recent kernel, so yeah. We managed to build a CUDA 8.0 driver for the real-time kernel. We want to use this, and we have just done preparational work to do signal processing with the graphics cards. Since the Pascal architecture that was introduced by NVIDIA, it's the 1080, 10XX series, they have introduced zero copying. And even with older cards, you can manage to use jack with the GPU if you just use 1024, I think, as a frame buffer, then it's fine with an old graphics card where you have to do memory copies. But I suppose, I didn't have any tests yet, with the 10XX cards, you can go much lower with a frame buffer, I suppose. So, since you have zero copy and no transfers anymore. Next one is for the network card to send AVB frames. We need to deactivate the IOMMU because some systems, especially those ones that we are using, they have an IO memory management use unit. And it's a little problem. The graphics card, they want to use the MMU, but the network card can't use the MMU at this point. And so it's configured to soft, which is kind of the common ground. And yeah, it's working. So the next thing, prioritizing IRQs. Since we are doing AVB, our most crucial part is the network card, especially the AVB network card. You can see here at this point that there's a second network card involved. I will come to that later too. And afterwards, after the network card is prioritized, we have the USB audio interface, for example. Then we have the common tuning for real-time swappiness, and most of you, I hope people know about this, and I don't want to go into detail on it. Then we need to replace the generic Intel E1000 IGB kernel module with the OpenAVB kernel module. The OpenAVB kernel module is on GitHub. I forgot to put the link on it, but I hope it's in the paper. It's an active development, and up to now it's stable with minor bug fixes. You have to provide three daemons that are running on the system on startup. You have to use the GPTP daemon, so in a way that the network can automatically synchronize, and all peers are in sync and have the same time base. Second one, which we are not using in our project, is the MAAP daemon, which is used to defend your MAC address allocations if you're using MAC multicast and so on. And you need an MRP daemon, which is used for the stream reservation. So your program has to communicate with this daemon to assign and allocate all its reservations. Then we have the software infrastructure, software architecture. It's consisting of 5 processes. So we can only see 4 here, and I will tell you about that. The first is the main process, which has claimed the Intel 210 card, because you can for using the transmission queues for AVB, you have to need exclusive access for the main process, and you cannot distribute it or over threads or over processes. This is why we need to implement an AVB packet scheduler, as you can see here, because we have several talkers on this server. The problem is, if we don't use such a packet scheduler, we cannot provide this exclusive access to the transmit buffers. Of course, there are different ways, but this is what we choose on this point. The talker, this is the version. The talker has and the listener, they both in the background run a client for the MRP protocol. You cannot see this on this picture. That's what I meant it earlier. And I will come later to that. We have another picture for this. But every client and every talker and every listener, every instance of it, is talking to this MRP process, because the talker has to advertise a stream and the listener has to send the acknowledgement such that the resources across the network can be established and reserved. Then you have the management process at the bottom, which is an AVDEC controller, which we saw 1722.1, and this supplies us with the required functionality to trigger all those MRP reservations and to get to know about the AVB instances, the talkers and the listeners, and it manages everything else in the background. This controller is using a standard, a generic Ethernet controller, because it's not necessarily time sensitive. And that is the other network card that we've seen in the prioritizing of the IRQs. In the center, we have the server configuration. There are 2, the AVB proxy server and the AVB processing server. And they are differing, of course, in a lot of ways, but mainly in 2 points. The AVB proxy server is running a UDP receiver and transmitter, which is connected to our SoundJack application. And for this, we require an additional standard network card. It might, in our case, we are using Ethernet because our campus network is our test environment. But if you go into the public internet, it might be some different WAN technology. The proxy server, on the other hand, has, as I mentioned, a GPU, because we want to do signal processing on the GPU later on. And yeah. Yes. And it, of course, it's running a JAX server. That's the whole point of the processing server. So here we see the integration of the JAX client and server, and there is a mistake I've seen a few minutes ago. These arrows are in the wrong direction. They should be on the top. And the same is true for the talkers. They should be reversed also. We have the main process. The main process is starting the JAX server. It is also starting everything that is coming as a DSP in the background, which on this picture we have no concrete DSP, but on the next I will show you something that we are doing already. Then you have the 2 processes, listener process and talker process, which each one of them spawns 1 JAX client. This has to do with the ring buffer reservation of the JAX ring buffers, because we are having different channel account configurations in our SoundJack client, and that is not so easy to map onto the JAX ring buffers on real time, because in theory, SoundJack is able to change the channel count live hot plucking, if you will. But this is more complicated in such a processing server to achieve. And this this is the reason why we just have one client per listener process and talker process, and we are using the jack ports to represent the single listeners. So we always inside the cloud, we are always using stereo channels. So we always have two ports per listener. This is not correct anymore, the 1 to 16 channel. It's the wrong graphics, I suppose. Yeah, okay. So you have stereo ring buffers in the client, in the jack client for the AVB listeners, and stereo ring buffers in the jack client for the AVB talkers. The AVB talkers also have a ring buffer that is connected to the AVB packet scheduler. The AVB packet scheduler here then goes over the 8 ring buffers and chooses which one to send, which one has the most recent timestamp. And it does that by first sorting the buffers with a simple queue sort algorithm, and then you always have the right order of timestamps, which is crucial to the transmission, because otherwise you would introduce some buffer leak. There was a problem which was a little frustrating, because it took me 2 days to figure it out. If you link the client and the server API into one single binary, you have to take care of the order in which you link. And that took me 2 days. So I don't recall right now. You have to first link the server and then the client, or other. I posted it in this issue so that it's documented. Was really frustrating, because it was working, but it just wasn't linking. This is the user interface that such as AVB server shows. It's an NCursus user interface, and you just have real-time counters to show you what's going on and how they behave at real-time, because it's the only reasonable thing that you can monitor at real-time without generating log files that very soon exceed your disk space. If I go into more detail here, you see the MRP SRP states, which represent the stream reservation. So you have here, this talker is advertising, this listener is ready. That means this one has reserved and declared his resources on the network, and the listener, which we see here, they have acknowledged this. But this is for the back-to-back. These listeners are connected to the processing server, and these talkers are connected to the processing server as well. We will see that on a later slide again. Then we have our actual signal processing that we're doing right now. It's the Faust client that was referred to, and I just want to give a few details. It's an N-1 mixer. It enables the musician to have a return stream where he has control over his own, and only his own volume. So the conductor or producer or whomever adjusts the level for all musicians, and only for your own return stream you have the power to adjust the level. Here we have the missing part of the registration, so that this is the output of the switch. I couldn't show you some reasonable output for the MRP daemon, and in this way I show you the switch. We have here the advertisement of the talker. It's propagated through the switch, and the switch ports, which are connected to the respective server, then is advertised. On the other hand, we have the listener propagation, and the listener receives the advertise from above, and it sends a ready acknowledgement. It is propagated through the switch to the talker, and thus the network resources are declared and reserved. On the second picture here on the right, you can see that here we can see the acknowledgements and the state of the stream actually, and here we can see some counter which helps us debugging and troubleshooting the network. These are the measurements, the first ones that we provided until now. We can see here on the left-hand side, this is the streaming, the AVTP streaming, AVB streaming, if you will. AVB is the family, AVTP is the specific transport protocol. And you have here an IPG inter-packet gap of 125 microseconds. If you transmit six samples with a packet rate of 8 kilohertz, you arrive at 125 microseconds. This is the amount of samples that you require for 48 kilohertz. So in this way, you maintain a constant stream. That the stream is constant is pretty good shown in this picture, where we just show the packet propagation over seconds, and it's linear. That's what we wanted to achieve. Now, on the right-hand side, we see what's coming to the SoundJack client so far. And on the top, this is the send stream from the client. You see this in the first row and every fourth row from there. And there we have a packet rate, an inter-packet gap from 5.399 packets per second. This is what we expected. And we have the return stream to the jack, to the SoundJack client, which we have here is fragmented a little more, so we have a smaller frame size, and thus we have a lower inter-packet gap, which is about 1.8 milliseconds. These both values are what we expected, what we wanted to see, but we have a buffer leak at the moment, which is related to the payloading. It's not that trivial anymore because we're doing some down mixing in the proxy server, and then we are transporting it to the processing server, which then in turn has ring buffers connected to Jack and ring buffers connected to AVB again, and again transporting it to the proxy server. And there's a lot of bit scrambling that's going on right now. And this is something that we have to avoid. Yeah, this leads to this value is not true. 748 milliseconds would be, then we could just pack it up and go home. But it shows that it's work in progress. It's working in the whole picture, but we have to do a lot of optimization. And yeah, leads me to future work. In future work, at the moment, we are using the real-time scheduler in Linux, but we want to use the EDF CBS scheduler, which is more suitable for real-time jobs, because you can really adjust the amount of time that one thread or one process can use or is allowed to use. And if he violates these constraints, it stops working because it's scheduled out and takes on work later, and thus it's late. But there are different papers that evaluate and say that the EDF and CBS scheduling is best suited for any kind of multimedia application. Then we want to do the GPGPU signal processing, as I mentioned earlier, primarily for virtual surround sound, such in a way that we can provide any user with a binaural signal that he can sit in his concert hall. That's what we want to achieve with this point. Another one is that we have to mix all the scaled servers. And one way would be to use a single mixing server, but we're making use of another AVB advantage. It uses layer 2 multicasting. So we can transmit our AVB streams and just acknowledge with different listeners, and we have a perfect distribution on layer 2, which is synchronized with GPTP, and that should be enough to supply mixing that is phase linear and which is transparent for the clock and everything else. Should. This is work in progress and future music, indeed. Then we want to implement AES-67 and ZEMTST-2110. Streaming on the proxy server side. And there is another issue, that's not the problem until now, but the Jack server is running free in relation to the AVB network. It's not synchronized to any of the clocks, it's synchronized to a single audio interface. which is lying around in our server booth, and it's not synchronized. Thus, you have a clock drift between the AVB clock, the media clock, and the JAX server, which is not that dramatic if you consider internet latencies, but it's not perfect either. So that's our roadmap. Yeah, that's so few. That was my part. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christoph. Quite some impressive hardware there. Must have cost quite a bit of money. You already have all the hardware in place?
We have the hardware in place. It's not quite that expensive. depends on the magnitude
not
you're talking about.
Not feasible
We have three zeros behind the one.
Okay, that's not too bad. No. And maybe a plug, if I may. You've heard about the hardware layer and the core software, kernel, and so on. And if you want to hear about the mixer component, which is at least in part done in Faust, you can come to the first International Faust Conference in July, 17th, 18th. Registration is open. It's at the Johannes Gutenberg University at Mainz. And it's also free, like this conference.
To address that, I can say Faust is really cool. I just joined in 2 months ago or something. It's pretty cool, really. I love it right
now. Okay, that was a shameless plug for our conference, but now I'm open it for questions, one or two maybe, because we're running late already.
Thank you for the talk. I was wondering, when you say there are 60 musicians and all of them get somehow mixed with your system, and you say something about cloud, so what do you think about the geographic extent of the system? So where are the musicians actually sitting? Because you can't really allocate these network channels across a country, because it would cost.
We have a picture there. It's a sketch. The logical center of Germany is Frankfurt. So you have, regardless where you sit in Germany, the shortest latency, shortest round trip times you have to over the DE6, and therefore it's feasible to place the server cloud in Frankfurt, to deploy there. At the moment, we're working on a campus network. And from there, you have to accept those latencies, because they're relating on physics, and you can't avoid that. And it's at this point, you have some soft skill that is required by the musicians to, you have to get into the groove to use this software. So I personally didn't use it to do real music sessions. But I know from colleagues and from my boss that it's working fine. They also did some shows with it, distributed over the United States and Germany. But you have to take care of rhythm section and melody section, and that's critical at this point.
But is it possible to allocate these bandwidths with the IP carriers that sit between Frankfurt and all these different places?
No, that's not a point at all. You have the public internet. It's the Wild West. We have no control whatsoever. The AVB is only, it's a layer 2 protocol. There are no IP addresses involved. You cannot use it over the internet. But in our server cloud, to have a mixing desk, if you will, we use AVTP to work with something like a mixing desk. So for the public internet.
Okay, maybe one very short question. Otherwise, thanks again. And
thank you very much.
Mark, you're ready? Okay.